بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله عنه says: كنا نتناوب رعاية إبلنا، كنا خدام أنفسنا. Wherever we could, we worked and we did our own work. We could manage a cup of tea, washing a pair of socks, or correcting something in the house, outside the house. Where we could do it, fix it ourselves, we'd do it ourselves. Khuddama anfusina. Nabi Sallam himself also. Goat, he would milk. The shoe needs to be corrected, he will correct the shoe. If the clothing needs to be mended, he's doing it himself. Month of Qurban is coming up. Mu'az radiallahu anhu has slaughtered an animal and he's skinning it. Nabi Sallam says, seeing that he doesn't know it so well, put on the side, and he skinned it himself. They say that we saw Nabi Sallam's hand in between the skin and the flesh, right inside. So, khuddama anfusina. We can manage. Why should we take someone else? Then we got extra money, then help someone else. The philosophy today is, we must help it, we must help them enjoy the money. Change, give it away. Change, give it away. So enjoy it. Right. So this philosophy, what happens, we get into a culture and we don't realize that we begin to behave like that. And then that culture that we learn in, or we are getting influence, is such, it takes you deeper, that if you can't enjoy it, nobody must enjoy it. So take tons of butter and go and throw it in the sea. There's an overload of tomatoes, so millions of tons go and throw it in the sea. But nobody must enjoy it. See where this culture takes you. And we say, we got it, we'll let you have also, we'll enjoy ourselves, we'll let you enjoy as well. So we get into this, and then we take from them, and we don't even realize that we are taking from them. Don't want to help, don't want to assist, nothing. So he says, نَتَنَاوَبُ رِعَيَةَ إِبِلِنَا. And they won't find it under, it's not something that's against their reputation or respect to take a bundle of food on the back and deliver it. But Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he's the largest reporter of hadith. So if he were alive today, we would have called him a Shaykhul Hadith. But now, at that time when he's known, he's got a bundle of food on his back. I said, "Why? Amir is walking behind. Amir is walking. Give some place. So simple. Where you can manage doing the work, you do it yourself. Then you got the extra, then help someone else. With that niyat, do it and have some more, or have someone else as well. So he says, we came here and we understood now that there's two works that we have to attend to. One is to take care of the animals and the luggage. And the other is to attend the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have come to learn. Now how do we reconcile the both? If you all are going to attend to the animals, then what have you come for? And if you all are going to come to the majlis of Nabi Sallam, then we'll be concerned about the animals and the luggage. So physically we are here, mentally we are elsewhere. So how do we get it? So then it was the way to consult. So he says, Kanat Aliyya Riayatul Ibil. So it was my duty to take care of the animals. So when it's my duty to take care of the camels and the luggage, etc. Now, I came with a little bit of delay because I was attending to all this. The majlis ended, I left, someone else was in my place. So I came, just as I came, so Nabi Sallam was explaining about wuzu. Do it nicely, correctly. About four things that we normally neglect in wuzu. One is sometimes we waste the water. Let the water run full. So if we really see that wuzu that we are doing from the tap, think sometimes more is getting wasted or more is getting used. If you're making ghusl, then think to yourself, more is getting used or more is getting wasted. Think. So now, these are the things that we need to take care of. See, once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is leading the namaz, and in the namaz, he felt confused. He says, Ma balu aqwamin, what's wrong? They're not doing the wuzu correctly. As a result, it creates confusion in the mind of the imam. See that? So the imam has to be concerned all the time. He can't say, no, I taught it once now. We did the wuzu practicals, namaz practicals, once in 2 years, so we're over with it. No, I have to be on the case. Do it again, again. So there's about four things in the wuzu that we have to be very concerned about. Mustafa Rahmatullah explained once that if that wuzu is not right, it's going to be wasting, or some of the adabs of the wuzu are not performed, then proportionately you get a decrease on the khushu and the nur of namaz. Namaz has got a nur, has got an effect, right? But that wuzu wasn't done right, because it wasn't done right, so you don't get that amount of khushu, that type of attention, that type of dhyan in the namaz, you don't get that type of nur in that namaz. You want that namaz to work for you, then you work the namaz straight, you work the namaz, and the namaz will work for you. So are we arranging now? What should we do? So we took it upon ourselves. All right, we'll do this. So Islam is that religion that teaches social etiquette, respect, how not to inconvenience anybody, big or small, but how not to inconvenience. Now, as you are coming to the masjid, every person's wish is that he must gain the maximum blessing out of the masjid. Comes to the house of Allah Ta'ala, I must get the maximum. And then we cannot say at any time that I don't have any needs. Right. If you are small, then you need to grow up. Grow up, then get a career, get a business. If you got a business, then look after your health. Then look after your wife. The children coming up, then look after them. See they are educated correctly. Then as they are of age, then get them into marriage. So this chakkar doesn't end. This exercise continues. Now you thought now you got children, they're big now your responsibility over. Before you know it, you're already a nana or a dada. Then you got the responsibility of them. Because their dukh is your dukh. Their sukh is your sukh. They in problems, you in problems. They happy, you happy. So that fikr of the dunya continues. And perhaps Allah Pak made it such that you turn to Him constantly. There mustn't be a time where you say, no, I don't need Allah Ta'ala now. See, you got something or the other that's lingering on your mind. So there is a reason for you to turn to Allah Ta'ala again and again. So where they teach you these books here, you know, these readers, school readers, happily ever after, it's right, but that's for Jannat. For Jannat, Jannat happily ever after. Here, you have to be on the fikr. So one is ended, so the second, dua, zikr, tilawat, namaz, turning to Allah Ta'ala, crying, that's the work. Now and then, on an occasion, now you amuse yourself, it's alright. But amusing every now and then you amuse yourself, every second, third day, before a picnic, braying, every week, once in 6 months, once in a year, it's alright. Bakri time or something, it's alright. But every now and then, but then, you lose the very, very purpose of life. Then you think that the purpose of life is just recreation, enjoy, cold drink, run around, picnic. So that's the purpose of life. See, like it's become the South African mindset. Every person must have a car. Nice car must have. So they can be nice farwanu, run around everywhere. That's the mindset. And then you try and analyze yourself. How much of money is spent just on the running around? Here, there, the third place, whatever. And then think after that, how much was really needed and how much was just that extra? How much was really needed and how much was extra? And then in that going around, how much of obligations you fulfilled? There were about three obligations that you had to fulfill. And in the running around, you bought a motor car. So how much of obligations you fulfilled? One obligation was maintaining good family relationship. Family relationship, your immediate and your distant. Visiting them, seeing to their needs. Sometimes we think, oh, I went and visited enough. That visiting means, it's about five things to the visiting. If he's poor, I think Mullah Ali Qari has written this. Right? If he's poor, then try and support him. If he's ailing, try and take care of him. Now we think, no, he was ailing, so I went and visited him. You went and visited him, and then what? Did you bring any relief to him? No, you saw he needs something. So did you bring any type of relief? Did you bring anything? No. He's ailing. So he said, no, I went and visited the sick, so I did my duty. I visit the sick, but according to your capacity, try and support him. See what you can do for him. But Umar radiallahu anhu, son is Abdullah bin Umar. So his habit was, when he goes for Umrah or Hajj, he takes his camel and he takes a donkey. So, and he'll have one turban, nice type of a turban. I suppose wind, storm, or cold, etc. So he'll keep a nice turban. As he's moving, he sees a villager, a Bedouin. You say Bedouin, a villager coming from the other side. Now, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, what he should do, he's traveling on the camel. When he wants to take a rest, he'll go onto the donkey. Suppose he feels more relaxed with the donkey. Right. So that's a car for relaxing. One car is for traveling and the other car is for relaxing. So he should have these two transport. He sees this person coming from the other direction without any hesitation, without any batting of an eye. What he does, he takes the donkey and gives it to that person, and he takes out his expensive turban and gives it to that person. So someone said, why do you do this? And I made ikram of that person. But why? So much of ikram, you could have given him a couple of dirhams, it would have been enough. Dirhams, a couple of 4 or 5 dirhams, it would last him at least 2 weeks. So what was the need for you to give so much? He says, no, son, see what he says. He says, this person's father was Umar's friend, my father's friend. His father was my father's friend. It is my duty to take care of my father's friend, and if he's gone, then to take care of his child. If I don't do that, then some noor will come out of my life. Some noor, some blessings will come out of my life. Now then we want to know, hey, you know what, I'm doing things, but I don't feel the drive, I don't feel motivation, zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz, talim, I don't have the drive in me. I know that this is wrong to go and see all this layani and all that, you know, WhatsApp, all that. But I just don't have the drive to just leave it out. Now, do you see where we're blocking out that noor? The noor comes into your life, then everything becomes automatic. But the noor escapes your life, then it becomes an effort. Everything becomes an effort. Zikr becomes an effort. Thinking of the akhirah becomes an effort. I ask, but how many of us took out the time to think about the hereafter seriously in this entire week? By the way, whether we thought about akhirat or jannah, jahannam, or maut or graves, by the way. But some serious concern about maut, about qabr, or jannah, jahannam, how many of us do take the time to think about this? You know, this when that noor escapes, this is what happens. See? And proportionate to how much the concern, the fikr of the akhirat leaves you, everything is in a disarray. Your life is not right, your home may not be right, your business may not be right, you may not be right, but proportionate to your disconcern of the hereafter, say disconcern or say decrease of concern, everything else goes off. But as you are thinking about maut, hereafter, jannat, jahannam, I have to reach this place here, that's my goal, Everything goes in place. Everything falls in place. And that is common knowledge. This is what you find in the kitab, but it's a common knowledge, right? If you're playing a ball game, right, then proportionate to how much you think about the goal and scoring, that's going to be your effort. But if you're going to be thinking of showing stunts and tricks and all that, then are you thinking right? Are you moving right? Alright, once off you show one stunt, just to excite people or inside them you did it. But the whole concern is, we didn't come here to excite people and impress people, we came to score goals. The manager of the team will say, we didn't come for this, to impress or to excite. We came to score goals. You know, you score the goal, this is what we stand for. This is what we are gaining, we're going to get. So you keep reminding, it's not the game, this is not the plan, this is not our idea, our agenda is something else. So now try and understand a Muslim's life. So I say, now you're helping the person, visiting the person, so can be four situations. So either he needs your help, right? He's not in a position, he needs help, he needs advice. And you know about something and you need the advice. Now, our whole life structure is gone off. The life structure is gone off. We got the wealth, but are we using it for the right reasons? Is it going in the right avenues, right ways? Is it going? But Umar radiallahu anhu, now he's become the Khalifa, right? When he's become the Khalifa, then he didn't consider it as a position of glory and splendor, showing, you know, I'm the Amir. He's moving, but he's got about 14 to 15 patches on his clothing. Then, now that he's become a Khalifa, he's become so concerned that he's not sleeping properly. Now he's parading the streets of Medina, the whole place, Medina here, outside of Medina, inside of Medina. Is any person in any type of constraints? I'm in charge of the Baitul Mal. I need to go and see it myself. Now he's coming on the outskirts of Medina. He hears someone groaning with pain. He finds out that this woman is in labor in the last stages. He speeds up back to Medina, brings his wife, and she is the granddaughter of Ali, means the great granddaughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine. She is doing the delivery herself, the whole maternity, she is doing it. Can you imagine? And for a stranger, they don't know the person for a bar of soap. But now you see how they are working, where the mind is going, how it works. Now that is, like I say, proportionate to the concern of the hereafter. You got that concern, everything is going. But that concern has left you, so the mind is going somewhere else. Second place, third place, fourth place, wherever else. So, you got that motor car, for example, so one is to go and visit. One is to go and help the person. See, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't feel it embarrassing to take his own respected wife to go and do the huwa. Did he find it embarrassing? No. I say, if you can't do it, but at least arrange for something. Try and work out something. If you can't, then arrange for something. How can this person's musibat, his calamity, his problem, how can it be sorted out? Idris alayhi salam was given sahifas, right? And in the sahifa, one of the advice was contained, O wealthy, I haven't given you wealth, O Lord, O wealthy, O Amir, I haven't given you wealth that you may pile it up. I've given it to you because I don't want the cry of the poor to reach me. I don't want the cry of the distressed and the oppressed to reach me. Because when the cry of the oppressed and the distressed reaches me, then I will answer it, I'll accept it. No matter who it is, Muslim or non-Muslim, he's oppressed, he's distressed, and his cry is reaching me, then I will come to his rescue. So now, to go and see, what can I do for this person, that person? If every person thinks, all right, let me take on 20 homes, 30 homes, 40 homes, let me just go and visit, see what I can do. How much can I help? How much can I assist? In my own capacity, I don't go for a collection and a donation. Yes, unless now there is a genuine situation, it's a different thing if you talk to someone. But how much can I do? I can take 2 homes, 3 homes, but let me do something. So that's the second thing that you need to do. Sometimes it is, as Umar is going again in the street, right? At night. And then he hears a woman singing. Now he listens to the poetry. When he listens to the poetry, he's thinking, what's this girl reading? He's saying that had it not been for the fear of Allah Ta'ala, then this bed would have been shaking. These are similar, approximate words. So he made a note. Alright, this is the house, this is the place where I heard this voice. In the morning, he sent someone to find out where's the husband. He's gone out in jihad. Now he's making a proper investigation that how long is this person's husband out, about 5 or 7 months. Then he's making an investigation, how long can a woman, a normal average woman, how long can she do without a husband? So it was generally accepted that it's about 4 months. That's why Tabligh Jamaat got 4 months. Don't go more than 4 months. 4 months and come back. Come back and go again. Come back, go and come back again. Right? So you see what he's doing. He's taking care. This is what he's taking, what he's meant by taking care. One is to send people in the path of Allah Ta'ala. One is to take care as well. To send and to take care. How do you do it? Without any fitna, without any problems, without any confusion. How do you do it? One sahabi says that we were looking after a certain frontier. And our time was up. So when our time was up, and there was no reinforcements, we returned to Medina. When we returned to Medina, Munawwara, Umar radiallahu anhu got very, very upset. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be guarding the frontier, and you've returned. Now look at Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, they say, Umar, it's your fault. See, the style of the Nabi was that one group is going, right? And before their time is up, the next group is there to fill in the place, and this one returns. Now here, 1 month, 2 months have passed, nobody has come. So we are men, obviously, we've got responsibilities, we've got duties to our wives and our children, and you didn't send the reinforcements at the right time. So Umar just held himself straight away. His anger just subsided immediately. Now you say, Umar also showed some anger. But did you see the breaks that he has? Do you see how he can hold? Straight away it's brought to his attention and he can hold himself. Have you got that? So that is why Hazrat says, Gussa pass nawe. If you Umar radiyallahu anhu, then you can show that anger because your breaks are so strong that when you realize that this is your mistake, then in the meanwhile what has happened, the cause of the delay, Umar couldn't send the reinforcements because at that time, precisely at that time, Umar radiallahu anhu was working out a register to find out all the Muslims and mainly those that are in the path of Allah Ta'ala, that their names come up in record, and then he can work out allowances for them. This person here, and this is his needs, he's going out 1 year at a time. So he's got 5 children, he's got a wife, he's got a destitute, perhaps looking after some orphan, or he's got a mother that is ailing. So he's taking care of all these things here. Now, what allowance should be made for them? See? So he's working out. So he's so engrossed in that he slipped up and he forgot about calling them back. But you see how his time is going. What is he doing? He's just managing the Khilafat now. And as he's managing the Khilafat, so he wants to know, he just started off the first day of the Khilafat. He wants to know, alright, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how would he start off his day? That's the first thing he wants to know. So he got to know that Abu Bakr would get up, move out of the house before Fajr. And then there were some very advanced old people that were totally handicapped. He would go and look at them. Alright. Take care of them. Anyway, now he got to know, alright, there was a Jew in this street here, and Abu Bakr, you should take care of him. Right. So Umar radiallahu anhu went into that same direction, knocked at the door, somehow he got into the door. So an old man or something, Jewish person, right? So now he tried to help the person. He knows that the first thing is, man must have been hungry, so let me feed him. So that person is saying, who is this person that is feeding me that doesn't even know how to feed a handicapped person? So that Umar then asked him, how was Abu Bakr feeding you? No, he would chew it himself and then put it to my mouth. Because he's handicapped now, perhaps he's broken all his teeth and he has lost all his teeth and he can't take the food down. So that food needed to be chewed. So Abu Bakr used to chew the food and then put it into my mouth. See that? This is the Sahaba Kiram. This is their life. This is the outlook. Right? Allah Ta'ala give us some reflection of the Sahaba Kiram. Illustrious. So this is the second thing. You've got a motor car now. This is the second thing. That you're looking around. Right? What can I do? How can I do it? Someone is getting messed up because he's not in a marriage. So how can I help him? Right? Somebody is in problems and he's doing some unda danda. He's doing some wrong things because of some situation. He's in drugs or something. But he's in problem, therefore he's doing it. One person came to me. So he says, whenever I get... I'm stressing and open the fridge and I eat. And it's very unhealthy that. You know, just to decrease the stress, so you open the fridge and just eat. It happens. I know about this thing, it happens, right? So now, someone is stressing, distressed. Now, how do you help the person? How do you sort the person out? Right? So, when you will come out, you will see problems. When you see problems, then you understand, alright, what do I do? What do I do? Is my life centered around just increasing digits? Or I got some other important outlook towards life. You see, you'll think like that. So anyway, we are talking about Sahaba Kiram and how was the lifestyle. So the day starts off, alright, what can I do for the people around? 100, 200 homes, what can I do for them? Someone is taking firewood on his own shoulder. Sahabi, greatest people in his ummah, alright, you don't have firewood. Someone needs water, filling up the containers and delivering it to the house. That's how they started. So, Islam is standing for this feature that we become an asset, not a liability or not an inconvenience. And this whole lesson is started off from the masjid. Right? From the masjid is being demonstrated that you become an asset, not a liability. The hadith now talks about a person leaving his home. You made wuzu, right? So now you went toilet, everything you've done, made wuzu and proceeding towards the masjid. So now, on every step, one sin is getting forgiven and you're getting elevated. Sin is getting forgiven and you're getting elevated. And the hadith wants you to think like that, to try and understand what you're getting. So I'm getting this. So you'll bring some life to that action. But if you just did it as a routine, there's not going to be life. That action will be done, but will there be life? So you're doing that, making wuzu, and you're leaving, right? You're making wuzu, and you left for the masjid, right? All of us are, you know, we feel so distressed. Well, that person is going for hajj, he's chosen this year, mashallah. We would like to go also, right? We're not feeling just jealous for the person, but we would like to be also there. But now the hadith, at least in these days, we start that off, this action that I'm going to show now. So we start off this action in these days, that you made wuzu at home and you're proceeding on foot, you're proceeding towards the masjid. If you can't do it every day, then do it one, you can't do it for the five namaz, one namaz in the day. But you made wuzu at home and then you're leaving your home to the masjid to do your faraz namaz. Then your reward is like the person that put on his ihram and is going for hajj. Put on his ihram and is proceeding to hajj. All of us can't afford it, or for some reason we can't go for hajj. But can't we do this much? At least, can't do it for five namaz, one namaz, alright. Made the wuzu nicely, properly, then I'm proceeding towards the masjid with that frame of mind that I am going for hajj now, I'm getting that reward. I'm getting accredited. Right? If not by sahub, by Allah Ta'ala. Right? The Rabbul Arbab, Allah Pak is doing it. So there is no cancellation. That sahuk, maybe there must be some cancellation or something didn't work out. There you did it, you got it. Just for the simple thing, made wuzu nicely, properly. Came towards masjid, right? So your sins are getting forgiven, you put on ihram, you're going towards umrah, you're going towards hajj. Then if it is the morning namaz that you are coming through, then you got a perfect nur on the day of qiyamah, perfect nur. In the darkness of the night, you're coming towards the masjid, right? Now, so So I say, you're living in an area, at least there must be some Muslims around. So he's going to masjid, you also feel encouraged, right? But it's all kuffar around. Now do you have the motivation, do you have the drive? So there must be some friendly environment, Muslim and friendly environment. You say, well, I am doing my namaz, but what about your children? So if it's an Islamic friendly environment, your children also motivated, you motivated. You've got three types of people in your home, four people in fact. You've got boys, you've got girls, you've got children, and you've got yourself. So what arrangements have you made for the woman? That they must get motivated. They must also be driven. Islam only for you or for them as well. I ask you, children, most of the time in whose hands, whose laps they're coming up? So don't they need to be motivated? Don't they need to be driven as well? So what have you done for them? That they be motivated, they be driven. And alhamdulillah, I've seen a woman, one, two sparks of dhikim, let us move on. Listen, hey, just hold it down, please. They'll go to overdrive. Just a little bit of a push and they'll go. You ask them to read Quran, one way they start reading. And they'll go on overdrive at times. She says, hey, please now, little bit, let's talk to us a little bit now. So they've got that charge. They're so good, is it? But do we play our role, or we are only concerned about, you know, that braai, the biryani, and that kebab or whatever, that they must do it right? Do we have that concern, or they must do this? Right. Allah Pak didn't say anyway, at'imuhum al-biryani. He never say that. Feed them with biryani. He never asked the woman or the men that feed the children with biryani. But he did say, ku anfusakum wa ahlikum, save yourself and your household, save them. Whatever it takes to teach them, to motivate them, to drive them, to encourage them, all that has to be done. However you do it, but you have to get them to do it. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That you encourage, you save yourself and them. Not only yourself, but you for them as well. And now when you're going to encourage, right, you yourself will feel motivated, right? You brought about an environment, you're encouraging, you're talking about it in a nice format, you're talking about it, right? Without hurting, without passing comments, you know, like some people say, hambrawa, without hambrawing and all that. Nicely, giving it to them nicely. They're doing it with happiness, with cheer. Then you complimented them, you brought them some gift or something, mashallah, how nice you did that namaz, salatu tasbih you did. Many times I ask the boys in the Dora final year, that, you know, you all know the fazilat of salatu tasbih, right? That all your sins, Allah Ta'ala forgives, past, future, everything, small, big, hidden, concealed, open, everything. But then ask them, when last you did? Now once some years back in Ramzan I did it. After that, why that's supposed to be done every week. On a Jummah, there's a lot of time. Nobody can say there's no time. There's a lot of time. You take out the time. I notice that in about 17 minutes flat, you can do it. Itminan ke saath, you can do it. 15 to 17 minutes, 4 rakats will go very easy. Now for us to look at the phone to 20 minutes, we've got the time for it. But now I'm too busy, man. I can't just manage. I can't just take the time. But the same person has got the time to look at these things. So now he's leaving the home. I'm showing you the sawab he's getting. With a frame of mind, right? Now you're living for Fajr namaz. You're coming to the masjid. So now the additional virtue is as though you have stood the entire night in namaz. As though the entire night. Do you have this in mind when you're leaving the home? Have that in mind. This is Allah Pak's promise. The Nabi Sam mentioned this. So he wants me to aspire for this. Why did he mention it? He wants me to aspire for this. Then the hadith again says, you're coming towards the masjid, Fajr, made wuzu, coming to the masjid. Allah Pak says, you in my protection, I'm guaranteeing you. Now you in the protection of Ana Dhaminun, I am you in my protection. As you're leaving, how nice you feel. And I'm in Allah Pak's protection. If I die, hey, what a beautiful death. Because Allah Pak has guaranteed that you are under my care now. I've taken control. So you just left your home, wuzu, coming nicely to the masjid. So many things. See that. Now you want to ensure that you gain the maximum from the masjid. So, in the masjid there will be two types of things. One is that you make people comfortable and look nice. And you avoid inconveniencing anybody. You make people feel nice and avoid inconveniencing. I say, you know, to make a person comfortable, you have to understand. You can't just do something as a routine, say, Lord, I did it. So, in India, you know, a lot of times you have a competition. There's one man is teaching our his classes here. So now he'll have another person coming in. So now this person feels domain threat. His domain is being threatened, right? Someone is teaching kitab, so someone else is coming to. So he feels his domain is being threatened. So now this one Munshi Sahib, he's teaching there. Another Munshi Sahib comes. So now the Munshi Sahib mentions it to his students. You know what? My domain is being threatened. I'll lose all my clients just now. All these people are coming. I'll lose them. So one student said, don't worry, I'll sort it out. Just let me do it, I'll sort it out. So he went to the new Munshi Sahib. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. I was going to make wuzu. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Went to toilet. Assalamu alaikum. Came out of toilet. Assalamu alaikum. Right. Going to the masjid. Assalamu alaikum. Took a couple of steps. Assalamu alaikum. Coming out of the masjid. Hey, but what is this? He said, no, assalamu alaikum is sunnat. To greet is sunnat. After one day was too much for him, he said, I believe you. See this. So to greet is a sunnah. But now think now, how must you do it? How must you do it that I make it comfortable for the person? He enjoys it. He's relaxed. He feels nice about it. How must I do it? This is a routine now. You heard one story here, one story here, and you sort of try to do it. Stupidity is naivety. The thing is how to do it. Muhammad Thamis Abrahman says, you're coming to visit your sheikh, don't even convey salam of someone else. What? Coming to visit your sheikh, don't even bring the salams of the next person. He didn't know. Mullah didn't know anything. Today, you know, you discovered something. Hey, Mullah also did discover. So you're a genius now, and he didn't know anything about it. Now, why did he say that? So no, Mullah is very strict. He said this, why he said? He said, when you come in here, you come for your fikr. Not for this person, that person, and the other person. I need to get sorted out. I need to get checked out. I'm worried about this person, that person, the third person, but myself. But if you come with a frame of mind, I need to know my weaknesses, where I'm going off, where am I lacking, where do I need to be corrected and fine-tuned, right? So you're coming with a different frame of mind. Otherwise now you're looking for, oh, he's getting shot down today, that person is getting shot down tomorrow, or his faults are being enumerated here. See, I told him that he's been making the mistake, now see he's getting it. So this is your frame of mind. But if you come with a frame of mind, the more time was once by Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi. So just then two people just pulled in. When they pulled in, Mawlana says, you see, you're going to a buzur. He says, Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi wasn't my sheikh, wasn't my peer, wasn't my ustad. So it wasn't that he had a former relation, not my relative also. But understanding him to be a senior buzurg of the time, I went. But I went with a frame of mind that Mawlana Fazlur Rahman was a little bit of a, he would just say things. Sometimes he says something very firmly. Whether you are a buzurg or not a buzurg, but he was such a person, such a great person, he would just say it. So Mawlana said, I prepared my mind already that if you want to say anything, I'll take it with a smile. I will take whatever he says, I will take it with a smile. So now, as I just came to Muradabad, Ganj Muradabad, Ganj means like a town, town Muradabad. Ganj doesn't mean Ganja now. Say Ganj now, it's a thing Ganja. So it doesn't mean Ganja, it means Ganj means a town, right? So, as I pulled into to Ganj Muradabad, he asked me, who asked you to come? Why did you come here? At this part of the night you came. Didn't the earth swallow you? Who's talking to? Didn't the earth swallow you? Who asked you to come? Did you notify me? So he said, and who are you? What's your name? He gave all his name, everything. After 1 hour, that whole anger, everything subsided. Oh, what are you? Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib's student. MashaAllah, sit down here. I showed him all the respect. But he says that I prepared myself mentally to take all the, you know, the whole language will say tongue lashing. All the tongue, I prepared myself. Because now I need to take the benefit. When I need to take the benefit, if some shouting, some reprimanding comes my side, let me take it in the stride. Now you want the benefit, but minus the shouting. No shouting must come on you. You're the blue-eyed person. Now how is it going to happen? Kis tarah se hoga? So you go to a doctor. See, doctor, you must treat me. But no pain, no injection, nothing. No medication, no injection, no operation, nothing. So it can't work. So the doctor says, okay, go find someone else. So same, some pain, some difficulty will come your way, but mentally you have to prepare your mind that something is going to come my way and I need to just receive it. So coming to a masjid now, there's two type of things that you have to prepare yourself, not to be a liability and an inconvenience, not to be a pain in the neck, and to make people comfortable and easy. Respecting the ambience of the masjid, what? Respecting and showing respect and regards and fear to the ambience of the masjid. Now you've got these three things, now you're cashing in. Remember three words. One is the ambience of the masjid, respect it. The fear. Ulaika ma kana lahum an yadkhuluha illa khaifin. Then to make it comfortable to the people around and not to inconvenience anybody, right? Now that will require about three. These are three mindsets. How will you do that? So you're coming on foot. You are not raising your voice, whether inside the masjid or in the parameters of the masjid, right? In the precincts of the masjid. Whether in the masjid or the precincts of the masjid, you're not raising your voice. Now sometimes you sit down here, right? If someone is talking, having a casual conversation outside, just 5 or 10 meters, you can hear him. So that person needs to understand, right? I want to converse, I can't converse. Let me go about 20, 30 meters away, so that I can be enjoying myself. The person that is in the masjid, he can enjoy himself. So some consideration. I'm enjoying myself outside, whilst he's enjoying himself inside the masjid. But let me go 20 meters, 30 meters out, so that the voice doesn't filter here. He's not disturbed. He's thinking of Allah Ta'ala, and I'm doing my own thing. Let me enjoy myself, let him enjoy himself. See now, how you're coming in, with that frame of mind, not inconveniencing. Then the second thing that they speak about is any foul smell. You eat something, achar or garlic. Sometimes I'm sitting, shining, a little bit of small dakak. Then I'm waiting for that garlic to come out. And really, that garlic just comes out. I'm getting the smell. That person doesn't know. But he ate something, now he's full stomach and he just burps. But you burped and all, you're getting all the problems, sit somewhere in the back. In the day of Nabi Sam, they should put that person away in Baqi, go outside. Don't come right here. So, you bring about a disturbance. Now, you don't even realize it, but you're not getting the barakah to the masjid. So, you're wondering now, you're coming to the masjid, but you're not getting the blessings. So, you came here to receive blessings, not to give up what you have got. So, now, make sure that there's no smell. I know when we were children, then they should sell that sense with sweet. You know, some old people must remember. So you just take about two small little sweet, but it just improves the fragrance of your mouth. It's very nice fragrance. So something that will give you a nice fragrance, even if you dakad, something good coming out. Right? Something good coming out. You know, or you're waiting for the ilati smell somewhere. Something nice. But now you got all this type of smell now, you just break the person's spirit now. The person have to hold his breath now. Let's hold this thing. When this thing going to finish? You know, one student used to be smoking. So I stopped him. But I think of a way now how to stop this person. Now he was about 20 and just about completing. 1 year left, 2 years left for him to complete. So I asked him, see, you on your way to marriage, right? When you're going to be in marriage, so you'll be intimate, right? Won't you be intimate, right? But now imagine, in that intimacy, and your wife has to, you're intimate, right? The lips are together, and she has to put all the cigarette in your mouth, one shot. You'll appreciate that. Hey, boy, stinky, I don't want a stinking mouth. But see, when you are in love, right? You can't only be receiving love, you must give love also. You can't only take the enjoyment, you have to give the enjoyment as well. Now, your mouth is stinking, but you want to be intimate. And you don't want her to be smelly. But you can be smelly, it's alright. So is that right? A lot of youngsters I talk to, sorry, not referring to any particular person now. Well, Bilal may think I'm talking to him, right? See, Alright, you want to get married, yeah. What type of girl? Fat like yourself? Thin? No, it must be thin. But what about yourself? She must be thin. She must be like, you know, proper shape. I can be any size, alright. Like you want something good, she also wants something good. You shape yourself, she'll shape herself. But are you want to be, can you get like a patata, and then you want someone nice in shape? It's not fair. See the smell. Your bodily smell, clothing smell, anything that is going to be distracting. The Hadith says it so strongly that you're coming with a foul smell into the masjid. Right? The essence, the ruh of the masjid, it actually shrinks, like how a skin or a plastic is put onto fire, how the thing shrinks. You got the picture how it shrinks. So the ruh of the masjid just shrinks away like that. So what have you got then? When you come with smell, then the whole thing has disappeared, it's gone. It's gone elsewhere. You think, no, I came to the masjid, I got some barakah. That is the karam of Allah Ta'ala, fadal of Allah Ta'ala, He still allows you. With all the nonsense, He still allows you, that is His fadal. But have you gained anything from the masjid? Think, no, I come to get the blessings, I must get the thing. That's the second adab, right? Not to inconvenience. But the inconvenience can be in about five different ways. Right? Then the hadith says about not advertising any type of a lost and found. Right. This actually says, if someone advertises a lost and found in a masjid, then say, La raddaha Allahu ilayk. May Allah Ta'ala not return that thing to you. May Allah Ta'ala not return that thing to you. Because this is, Al-masjidu lam yabni lihada. Lam yubna lihada. It wasn't built for this. You come here and make announcements for your lost and found. It was not for this. It was for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. For zikr, Quran, Sharif, tilaw. That was. Now, you think to yourself in retrospect, you're coming and putting Al-Ummah magazine here. Whatever, Islam Awake, whatever. Now, just open the book and see how much of advertisement, right? And how much of Islamic articles. The whole thing is full of advertisement, all dunya. One, two Islamic articles, they just slipped in. Now, I ask you, those people that are advertising, are they going to get barakat? See this dua, Nabi Sallam's dua. La raddaha Allahu ilayk. May Allah never return that to you. So are these people that are putting this type of books here in the masjid, are they going to get any barakat? Forget it, you don't want to get it. Nabi Sallam is saying, La raddaha Allahu ilayk. May Allah never return that to you. So you are deprived. So go and do this here. Even if it is that kurbani animal that you're advertising. Bilasi, I'm catching him through here. I'm not speaking to you. So, even if it is the kurbani animal that you are advertising, or even khajur in the month of Ramadan you are advertising, not in the masjid, outside, let it be outside the masjid. Nothing, here is just an ambiance of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, zikr, Quran Sharif. You want to see it, you want to hear it, you want to experience that thing. So, create that ambiance, make that ambiance. See the third thing. No lost, no found. Not even a lost article, not a found article, right? So the fourth thing now is you don't raise your voice. Even if you are reciting the Quran Sharif, making zikr, but don't you raise your voice. Unless it is a program destined for that, what? It's a program. Now, you can see it's a program. So now someone is reading namaz there. He can't say that I'm disturbing him. Why? Because this was a program destined in this masjid at this time. When it's destined, it's confirmed that this time this program will take place. Now that person is wrong. He must go read namaz somewhere else. Otherwise, if he wants to read his namaz, then he must accept it. Al-Mawt Tayyarana says that in his mawais, right? That in Thanabo in the masjid, the zikr al-jahri, the loud zikr, will commence at about 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, I deliberated about the whole thing, but isn't it a disturbance? So then I thought about the hadith, he says. The Nabi Sallam had walked at night, passing the Sahaba Kiram's home. One person was reciting a little bit very loud, someone average, someone softly. And Nabi Sallam asked one person to pick up the voice, one person to lower the voice. But the voices could be heard from outside. He's reading the Quran sitting inside, and the voices can be heard. That means they were in zikr, whatever, or recitation, but it was done loudly. So that means it is permissible, number one. Number two is that this masjid here is meant for zikr at that time. Like this program is, at this time, This was a program scheduled for this time in this masjid. So nobody can say now I'm being disturbed. He's wrong. Listen, you can't say that. Otherwise you can't have one bayan here then. Can't have one program you can't have here. So sometimes people write these articles, they don't think, what did the Akabi do? What have a more time on to do? What they were doing? I say, bidah, just one off the cuff, this is bidah, this is haram. So it's a question of not understanding or not being with your Akabir for a long time. It's a very short period, you come and stay with them, you saw one, two things, you picked up one, two things and you're gone. Now when you go on like that, you don't get the full picture. Your mind is not fully matured. Then you want to label, he's a bidati, he's haram and he's doing this and he's... So this is a sign of immaturity. So this is a third thing, that you don't raise your voice in the masjid, don't disturb anybody. Not lost and found. Not in the precincts of masjid. If it is a time now, for example, for individual ibadat, then at the time of individual ibadat, then you don't shout, don't read loud. Because it's a time now. Say, individual ibadat, one of the times, is say, before the namaz, right? Say, azan is called, so everybody is in individual ibadat. Whenever it's individual ibadat, now someone is making zikr loudly, you will correct him. Don't do it. Somebody is reciting Quran Sharif loudly, you'll say, no, it's not right. It was the time meant for individual ibadat, so honor the time, respect the time. Azan is called, after azan is called, this was what was supposed to be done. I spoke to some persons, but even if it is a tabligh mashwara, but don't do it at the time azan is being called, or people are waiting for namaz to commence. Because what happens, see, you don't realize that you may be discussing something very important, right? But the next person doesn't know what you're discussing. So he'll say, well, if he can do this, then why can't I do it? See. So some things are such, okay, in itself it may be permissible, but then it takes a wrong turn. What? In itself, it may be permissible. But if you do it, it takes a wrong turn. Right? Say, for example, an elderly person is reciting Quran Sharif from a phone, right? Or a cell phone, and he's reciting Quran Sharif. Right? Now that youngster is watching that this chacha is a very pious person, and he's reciting Quran Sharif from the phone. So now he pulls out his phone at that side. He doesn't know what he's doing. So, well, I can watch videos because this chacha is doing the phone. He's reading from the, he's doing something on the phone. I don't know what he's doing. If he can watch the phone in the masjid and he's pious, why can't I look at a video? So now, for the benefit of these youngsters that are coming up, you rather take the Quran study from the shelf and recite. Now you avoid creating a confusion in the mind of these growing up people. Because they can't see what you're reading. If you pass by a person that is watching a phone, you can't see exactly what he's seeing. It takes you time until you focus, you near there at a certain distance, then you'll see what's going on. Otherwise you can't just see it in one flash. So for that person's benefit, you will not see. You will rather take the Quran Sharif, avoid the confusion, and recite properly how you're supposed to be reciting. Okay. See that, not to inconvenience. Right? The fourth way of inconveniencing is like the serfs are made, right? You fall upon a small gap, and now you are double size, right? And you push yourself. When you push yourself, hey, I got into the first serve, I am so great. But not realizing, you have inconvenienced the person to your right and to your left. Now that person on the right or the left, he'll say, I don't want to hurt this person here. Let me tie my hands like this. Oh, namaz, you have to hold like this. Why? Because this person wanted a place in the first serve. Now the person on the right and on the left is inconvenienced. See that? Now a little bit of the masjid is teaching a lot of social etiquette. But provided you open your mind, open your brain, then you'll understand all right what is the etiquette the masjid is offering me. That's the fifth way that you will not hurt anybody. Right? The sixth way that you will not hurt anybody, right, is you will not dress in an inappropriate manner. Now, you are dressed now, see, very tight and body-hugging, body fit, right? That type of clothing, right? Right. Many times it's white dress. It's a white kurta or something. And you wore this type of a clothing, right? When you wore this type of a clothing and you wore tight clothing, coming inside, right? So now what has happened? Now what has happened really is this. That if you're wearing white clothing, right, and it's a bright light, sometimes you can actually see the contours. Besides the shape, you can see the underwear also. Besides seeing the shape of the person's figure, you can see the underwear as well. Right? Now, this is very, very embarrassing. It's very, very embarrassing. It's not embarrassing, it's extremely embarrassing. You know, if, say, a woman is dressed in a tight clothing, right, then will you say that it's an appropriate dress? You'll say, no, it's a very shameful dress. But I ask you, if a man has, this is his satar, from the navel to the knee, right? That is his satar. Like a woman, her whole body is satar, your satar is from the navel to the knee. But if your body is revealing, aren't you equally unshameful, right? Aren't you equally unshameful? She's unshameful, she's immodest, but you're also immodest. That this part of the body needs to be concealed, a little bit of a loose clothing, a little bit of a cloth that is not see-through. Not see-through, it's a little bit thick, not see-through, especially the clothing from the navel to the knee, right? Now, you are hurting, you inconveniencing the person on the right, on the left. See the fifth way, right? Don't inconvenience anybody, right? The sixth way that you inconvenience now in this day, is you don't park the car correctly, right? Now, a lot of time you'll go to a big masjid, please, this registration, just take it out of the way. You're supposed to be attending a program. Now you go and remind the person you are not parked correctly. So no, I'm remembering Allah that I'm making namaz here and you come and shouting me. Yes, nobody stopped you from making namaz. But yes, don't inconvenience someone. Maybe a person that is old. There may be a person rushing to catch his flight. There may be a doctor that is attending to a patient, right? It may be a person now, he's a doctor, he's just got a message that this person got a heart problem and he needs to be rushed and he needs to attend to him. Now, he is jammed up with the cars that are behind him. That man is reading namaz. Itminan ke saath talaq tasbih, he thought of reading at that time. Faint-timorous job. You can't pull him out of namaz. That person is frustrating outside. You can't even tell the person. You tell the person. He's telling you back. Now, is that what Islam is teaching? Don't inconvenience. Anybody, small or big, don't inconvenience. Don't. But by the same token, don't shout that person. Because people's tempers are different, right? They can't accept any correction. You won't tell them, you won't tell him one thing, he'll tell you 10 things. The capacity of people has reduced so much is reduced, that one thing, ek baat bhi sunana unko, bardash nahi hota. They don't have the capacity to take anything. They can't, one word of correction you can't. So, somehow think of a way how you're going to bring it to their attention by don't inconvenience, don't disturb, don't inconvenience. How you going to bring it to their attention? So you see this 5-6 ways. So then the hadith says thereafter, we did all these things here, then Allah Pak blesses you in 3 ways. The farishtas, as you come and occupy the front rows, right? One is Allah Pak and his malaika make special dua for you. Allah Pak's mercy and the malaika special dua, right? Number 2, as long as you don't break your wuzu, and as long as you don't hurt and disturb anybody, then the malaika making 3 duas for you. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allah Pak, forgive him. We all gunaikars, right? Can we say that we got no gunas? So the malaika making dua, Allah Pak, forgive the person. Allahumma arhamhu, Allah Ta'ala, shower your mercies upon him. Allahumma tub alayhi, oh Allah Ta'ala, your special attention focus on this person, this banda, right? Number 4, you're doing all these things. Number 4, the namaz hasn't yet started, but you're behaving yourself in the masjid as you're supposed to be behaving, right? You're behaving yourself. So the 4th blessing that you get for behaving in this manner is that مَنْ تَزَرْتُمُ السَّلَىٰ أَنْتُمْ فِي السَّلَىٰ. As long as you are waiting for namaz, you're getting credited. What? You're waiting nicely, respectfully. Please, when you come in, don't look at the right, what's happening here. Who came, what's the furniture like, what type of lights they got, and all the lights they must change here. Don't look at all these things here. Came for a work, just focus on the work. After that, then you can think about what needs to be changed and improved. After you've left the masjid, then you can think about it. But as you are here, you think to yourself that I've dedicated and devoted some time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, for Allah Ta'ala. Let it be for Allah Ta'ala alone. Let that time that I've devoted to Allah Ta'ala not be interrupted. You need to have that sense and that love for Allah Ta'ala that I don't want an interruption in this communication. I don't want that interruption in the communication. I don't want that. So you're not looking at your phone, nothing. Now imagine you come at a courtroom, in the courtroom now, and the judge is talking to you, and you're playing at your phone. Will the judge take it lightly? It's a serious case. They can put you in prison for lifelong. And you're smiling, got your phone, playing around. Yeah, judge, what are you saying? Will he take it? Will he take it rightly? Or will he penalize you? So you got these three, four things in place. Now that masjid is a blessing. The masjid is working for you. You are the guest of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala takes it upon himself to honor you, right? Like how you will honor your guest. You are a respectable guest that's coming to your house. Don't you honor him? If we say, for example, say your father or your mother came to your house, don't you honor them? You honor them, you respect them. So Allah Ta'ala respects you and honors you in this manner, that you came to the house of Allah Ta'ala, you gave your time, you respected, you respected the ambiance of the masjid, you didn't disturb anybody. So now, Allah Ta'ala rewards you in this way. So many ways that you are getting blessed, you're getting repeatedly blessed. See that? So six things that you will avoid. Then the two, three things that you will do is, like you're coming to the masjid, like I said, come clean, right? Apply some itar that people are comfortable with, right? Not an itar now that people are uncomfortable with. Some type of fragrance that people are comfortable with, that they feel nice, right? Mashallah. This chacha comes, the whole night, masjid comes so nice, man. Fragrance just goes so nice. So people say they must like your coming. That you add to the ambience of the masjid. Fragrance coming, mashallah. Even if it's an expensive one, but for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the love of Allah Ta'ala, you brought it. Eh? One youngster was talking yesterday about love of Allah Ta'ala. It's not just understanding. One is to get the recognition, and the higher level is to get the love. One is to get recognition, right? And above recognition is love. Right? So one thing of recognition, let me just share one thing of recognition with you, right? See, a human being, from the day he was born till he's made to lie in his grave, I think he goes through over 1,000 outfits, right? Right? Is it right or not right? From the day he's born till the day he's made to rest in his grave. Summer is a different outfit, winter is a different outfit, right? Juma is a different outfit, Eid is a different outfit, right? Then casual wear is different and office wear is different, right? You're traveling, you are differently, you're dressed, taking a different type of clothing. When you're at home, you are different. Night, you're wearing a different clothing, and day, you're wearing a different type of clothing. A child's clothing is different to an adult's clothing, right? And an old man's clothing is different to a youngster's clothing, right? Right? Old man will be a little bit dressed a little bit more modestly, right? A young person will have a jammy or something. Now, an old man, 85 years old, got jammies and t-shirts. Doesn't look right. Don't you say that? It doesn't look right on you. So many different outfits you go through. Right? But now look, the kudrat and the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. What? Look at the beauty and the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala. The animal or the chicken or the horse or the sheep that is born, from the day it's born till the day it's dead, one outfit. And the outfit looks so beautiful on it. Look at some rooster, the color, look at it. The color combination. And it doesn't look, it's not painful to the eye. You look at it and you look again. Look at the color combination. So beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful. And one, Allah gives it one outfit, and that one outfit from the day it's born till the day it's dead. One outfit. Winter or summer, night or day, same thing it's wearing. Isn't the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? Beauty of Allah Ta'ala. So now, that is the ma'rifah, right? Understand. But don't leave it at the point of understanding. Shaitan also understood Allah Ta'ala. But jis cheez ki zabardast kami thi, muhabbat, he didn't have muhabbat. The love. Now I have to explain this youngster, 20 years of age now, come to his level to explain him what is love. So you 20 years here, you've been to school, matric here, a little bit of university, 1-2 years here. So you may have heard of a case where one boy in the school was in love with a girl, right? And there may be one other two persons that are also in love with the same girl. Yeah, I'm more annoyed, man. This morning, this is what happened here. Hey, they punch it up. They bust it up for the one girl. And the girl was not worried about what they were fighting for. She's laughing at them. Not even interested in them. And they boxing it for that one girl. So I said, now see, these two people are fighting, right? Fighting for, to get that girl. If that girl said, you really like me, right? Get me some, one bouquet of roses, right? Then, will you ask any questions? Why roses? After 2 days, that thing will all fade away. You have to throw it away. You know, 2,000, they'll just go away like that. So it's my kya fayda hai? What's the benefit of this? Rather, you know, eat something and drink something. You will ask those questions. That youngster at that age, will you ask that questions? He won't ask that question. He'll say, hey, what's the color? You know, what color you want it, and how you want it, where you want it, and how must we deliver it? He'll want to know exactly what she wants, right? What is forcing him to behave like that? That was love. That means when the love is complete, no questions are asked. When the love, there is a deficiency of love, then you ask these questions. So these people that are asking the philosophy of this thing and that thing and Qurbani and whatever else is not a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of deficiency of love. If the love was complete, you will just do it. Allah Pak said it, let me do it. Automatically it will just come in your mind, no, I need to do it. My Allah Pak wants it, let me do it. He wants it, let me do it. How he wants it? He wants a good animal, hey, let me give it. He wants me to eat of that animal, let me eat it. Now you're looking at the hand of as though Allah Ta'ala is extended an invitation. So now, hey, Qurbani, I can't touch that thing, I can't eat that thing, only from butchery. Allah Pak wants me to slaughter the thing and eat of that meat, I will enjoy it. Maybe at the beginning I'm not used to it, so let me take one small piece, I'll get used to it.